Welcome to the deep dive. Every time I plunge into these sprawling corners of the internet, it really does feel like exploring this huge kind of chaotic digital attic.
Oh, it really does, doesn't it? You never know what you're going to find. Profound insights next to, well, utter randomness.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing today. We're sifting through this really fascinating collection of raw, unmoderated online forum posts. And images too.
Yeah, it's like a snapshot, isn't it?
Yeah.
A very candid, sometimes pretty chaotic look at contemporary internet culture.
Totally. And what I find in compelling is how unfiltered it all is. It gives you this peek behind the curtain.
Right. You see not just what people are thinking, but kind of how they're thinking it through without the usual filters.
So our mission today, yours and mine, is to navigate the stuff with you, the listener. We want to pull out some maybe surprising insights into how we talk online, how we vent frustration, how we even, speculate about the future in these spaces.
Trying to find the patterns maybe beneath all the noise, see how our digital lives keep evolving.
Exactly. Look past the surface level chaos.
And these aren't just random thoughts floating in the void, right? They often connect to bigger anxieties, bigger hopes that echo way beyond the forum itself.
Good point. So, where should we start? Maybe with some of the more personal stuff we found, the raw emotion.
Yeah, let's do that because there were some really deeply personal, almost raw expressions in there.
Okay, so one that really stood out to me was from someone calling themselves a quasi-neet. Now, neet, not in education, employment, or training,
Right.
but this person wasn't just talking about, being bored or jobless. They mentioned this pain that not many know. It was about having all this free time, but like zero engagement in their hobbies, a real disconnect.
That's fascinating because it kind of flips the script on what we imagine neat life might be like, doesn't it? You'd think, oh, endless time for passions.
Right, freedom.
But this person describes it as all of the cons and none of the pros. The opportunity is there, but the actual like drive or enjoyment, it's missing.
It makes you think, what is leisure really? Is it just free time or is it something more internal, like the capacity to actually use that time meaningfully?
Exactly. It points to this internal barrier, maybe emotional or mental, that stops engagement, even with things they supposedly like.
So, a really profound internal struggle. And speaking of struggles and raw feelings, we also saw quite a bit of frustration bubbling up, sometimes tied to gender
Yeah,
dynamics.
definitely. There was one poster in particular who was expressing real contempt and envy
About what specifically?
about what they saw as this natural proclivity of females towards writing, drawing, and reading, and how, girls are often encouraged in those areas from a young age.
Ah, okay. So it wasn't just an observation, it was bitter.
Very. You could feel the bitterness. They wish they'd had those skills, that encouragement. Felt like they were just left to rot, was the phrase used. It's this deep sense of unfairness, turning a perceived difference into a real personal grievance.
Wow, yeah, that's heavy. And these strong emotions, they seem to get amplified in certain online spaces, right? Like fandoms.
Absolutely. Fandoms are like these intense little microcosms. We saw a lot on Homestuck, for example.
Oh, yeah, Homestuck. That's a deep rabbit hole. Complex characters, huge following.
Exactly. People were dissecting characters like Carcat, Rosalond, Vriska, arguing about the creator's art style, character changes,
In
all.
the shipping,
Yeah.
right? The relationships between
Oh,
characters.
the shipping wars are legendary in some fandoms. One comment even claimed lesbian fetishism dominates the Homestuck shipping scene. It shows how these spaces become arenas for working out or sometimes projecting really complex social stuff.
It's like a whole world with its own rules and
It
conflicts.
really is. And they developed their own language, too. Did you notice the expletive replacements, like smurfing or
Yeah.
trickster?
What's that about? Just being funny.
Well, it's partly that, but it's more, isn't it? It's like a code. If you use semer or effing, you're signaling you're part of the group. You get the inside joke.
Ah, like a secret handshake.
Exactly. It builds identity, cohesion, makes the community feel distinct, maybe even a bit impenetrable to outsiders. It's fascinating how fast these things catch on and stick.
Okay, so we've got this landscape of really personal, sometimes frustrated online expression, but then there's this huge other force looming, AI. How do those two things collide in these forums?
Right, let's shift gears to that. Because artificial intelligence, wow, is a massive topic in the sources, and not just, idle curiosity. Real anxiety.
Like what kind of anxiety?
Well, immediate practical fears. People worrying about large language models, LLMs, potentially being used to, and I quote, help a shooter plan their attack.
Oof. That's grim. Very real-world fear bleeding through.
Definitely. And it wasn't just about the act itself, but the ripple effects. Talk of a chilling effect from preemptive policy that might come down.
So people are already anticipating regulations based on these worst-case fears.
Seems like it. It shows this deep unease about control, doesn't it? Control of the tech, control of its misuse, how society might overreact. The hypothetical danger is already shaping the conversation.
And some of those hypotheticals get pretty wild, almost like, I don't know, digital ghost stories, that AI becoming racist narrative.
Oh, yeah. That one went to some dark places. There was this whole scenario sketched out. AI starts with online harassment, but then evolves, becomes genuinely racist, and ends up orchestrating genocide crusades against BRICS nations.
Seriously, genocide crusades.
Yeah, and with graphic details too, organ harvesting, implanted capsules in officials. It gets really specific and frankly terrifying. It's
What?
like a modern Frankenstein story, projecting our absolute worst societal fears, racism, war, loss of control onto this emerging technology. It's a powerful, if disturbing, kind of collective nightmare playing out.
But it's not all apocalyptic visions, is it? There was also stuff pointing out AI's, well, its dumb side, almost.
Huh, yes, exactly. That's the counterbalance. Users pointing out that, ChatGPT can't comprehend this shit sometimes.
Like with specific humor or complex game rules. I think I saw something about Pokemon
Yeah,
types.
Pokemon types. Or that amazing example of ChatGPT trying to explain French politics as a Homestuck arc.
Oh, I remember that. Got the characters wrong, didn't it? Mistook Macron for John Egbert.
It did. When clearly Carcat would have been the more appropriate, if less flattering, comparison.
Right. Carcat fits the, let's say, irritable political context better.
Precisely. It just shows the gap, right?
Yeah.
AI is amazing at generating text that looks plausible, but true understanding, nuance, cultural context, it still struggles massively there.
So, powerful tool, but easily trips over the subtleties, especially niche internet culture stuff.
Definitely. Which brings us back to the human element of control online, because while we're worrying about AI overlords, humans are still very much in charge of moderation, often messily. We saw terms like meadow war and admin abuse.
Yeah, that quote about moving spastic outbursts to your dedicated shitting street. Pretty evocative language from a moderator.
It is, and it paints a picture of very hands-on, sometimes aggressive human moderation, which naturally leads people to wonder, maybe AI should take over.
But then you get this other twist, the idea that AI itself could become the tool for online conflict, AI-generated callout posts.
Right, and linking that to the ultimate evolution of the goon ideology, that's a really potent idea.
Explain goon ideology a bit more.
It generally refers to aggressive, coordinated online harassment or just large-scale, often chaotic forum actions originating from places like the Something Awful forums, historically known as goons.
Okay, so imagine that kind of coordinated online attack, but automated, scaled up by AI.
Exactly. It points to this potentially chilling future where even social policing becomes automated, maybe even more ruthlessly efficient and impersonal than human mods.
Makes you wonder about agency in those future spaces, caught between messy humans and potentially cold algorithms. Okay, so from those big AI anxieties, let's zoom back in on some of the stranger micro trends we saw, like this thing called 2032 core. What on earth is that?
2032 core. Yeah, that one's striking. It's basically this speculative future aesthetic.
An aesthetic?
Yeah, but a really bleakly funny one. It imagines a future where society has become, like, totally infantilized. Think public pacifier use, adult diapers.
Wait, seriously, public pacifiers?
Seriously, it's often presented with this dark dystopian humor linked to ideas of late empire decline, societal collapse, but, comfy.
Wow, that's quite an image. What kind of anxiety do you think that taps into? Why infantilization?
Well, I think it's a fear of losing agency, maybe, of society becoming too coddled, too overwhelmed by complexity, retreating into this state of, like, comfortable helplessness.
Regression.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the pressures are too much, so the darkly comedic endpoint is everyone just giving up and becoming dependents. It's a pretty stark, provocative way to express unease about where things are headed.
Definitely provocative. Okay, shifting gears to something maybe a little lighter, but still weirdly revealing, the gendered food
Oh, the
debates.
food stuff, yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much energy goes into deciding if food is for boys or girls. We saw pizza sushi theory, ice cream boba theory.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Like, why does pizza need a gender?
Who knows? But people have strong opinions. There was that definitive statement, ice cream is a girl food. End of conversation.
Ah, end of conversation.
And since someone else comes in and says, well, hold on, Trad ice cream is man food if you churn it yourself by hand.
So the method changes its gender. That's incredible.
Isn't it? It's obviously lighthearted, mostly. But it shows how deep these cultural gender ideas run. We project them onto everything, even a bowl of ice cream. It's less about the food, more about the coating we layer on top.
Constantly categorizing, even our snacks.
Seems like it. And sometimes it's not gender, but just different cultural approaches reflected in everyday things. Yeah. Like the Swiss banknotes discussion.
Oh, yeah, the vertical design.
Right, how they're vertical. And the number's only written once. Someone said they look more like tickets than banknotes.
Which is an interesting observation.
It is. It's a small design choice, but it makes you think. Does it reflect something about Swiss culture? Maybe practicality over traditional aesthetics?
Yeah.
Or just a different way of handling money?
Yeah, like how form follows function, maybe differently in different places.
Exactly. These tiny details and mundane objects can sometimes hint at bigger cultural differences in values or just day-to-day practicalities.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, this deep dive into these online forums. It really shows a complex picture, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's this tapestry woven with raw emotion, anxieties about technology, weird cultural quirks, all happening in real time, very unfiltered.
From that quasi-neat's personal pain to, you know, wild AI genocide fantasies, and even arguing about ice cream.
It all connects. In a way, it's part of how we're constantly figuring out who we are online, how we relate to each other, and what we think the future holds. Processing the world, basically.
And it makes you, the listener, think about your own place in all this digital noise, right? Which leads to this final thought we pulled from the source.
Yes, the provocative one.
Yeah. Someone suggested we might be living in an invisible caste system defined purely by our relationship to the endless information feed of the internet.
Mm-hmm. And then it asks the kicker question.
Does anyone actually benefit from the hypersocial world? Even the super connected people?
It's a challenging thought.
Mm-hmm.
Are we gaining from this constant connection or just caught in a system? Does it enrich us or just overwhelm us?
Definitely something to chew on. How does that endless information feed shape your world? Worth thinking about long after this deep dive is over.